warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here today with the David Niles, but Dave, we are not in the studio today.
No.
We are at a special location in the Diocese of Tulsa. We're at Holy Family Cathedral, one of the prettiest cathedrals probably in the nation. Here today at Wednesday at the Cathedral. This is a live recording, so we're with probably some of our, let's see, I would say 50 of our favorite friends right here in front of us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. One of the...
Yeah, we can clap, yeah.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that.
One of the claims to fame for the Cathedral is Mother Teresa came here and celebrated Mass. Actually, this last Sunday, I sat in that pew.
Yeah, we have a little plaque right there. Yeah.
There are two spots.
Two? Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah, yeah, twice.
Yes.
Yes. Dave, why don't you introduce our guest we have with us?
So we have Father Jovita. You're the pastor here at the cathedral. And we
call him the rector.
Well, the rector. Yes. The bishop, the bishop is the pastor. You are right. Yes, yeah. You're right. He's not here, right? Yes. And so you have graciously decided, we convinced you kind of to join us. And so we're very happy to have you. And we're also just honored to be here in front of you guys. I gave you a brief rundown before we started, but we do three things.
Yes.
On the Catholic Man Show. First that we're going to get to right away is we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. The reason that we do that, the reason that we drink on air is that God made the things of this earth good. And they should be enjoyed for their goodness. And that's what we want to do. So when we're having what we call a manly beverage, Bud Light is not something that we're going to drink because we want to drink something that's like a really good beer. Bud Light's not our preference. You might like Bud Light and that's fine. But that's just not what we like. It's not our favorite.
We don't like carbonated water.
But anyway, also gives us the opportunity to highlight the virtue of temperance. It's one thing to talk about drinking in moderation. It's another thing to demonstrate it over and over and over again. And I'm happy to demonstrate temperance as often as I can in the realm of manly beverages. It's truly an honor. So,
yeah. So we also promote holy leisure. And, you know, so there's something that similar to how when you sit down and you enjoy a dinner with family and friends, it's an intimate, intimate setting. It's something that you can share with one another. Similar to you, if you open up a beer and you're sitting there enjoying the company of one another and you're resting, you know, we were made for rest. When somebody dies, we say eternal rest grant unto you, O Lord. So we're made to rest in God. And so holy leisure is something that has definitely not been promoted in our culture today. Enjoying things for their goodness and enjoying them for how they are made, which is in moderation. So that's kind of what we hope to do every first segment.
Yeah. So let's get to this. It.
Okay. I like the idea of holy leisure. I think it was Aristotle who said that leisure liberates man from the oppression of the useful. So this evening, just being together here to enjoy each other's company and learn something about virtuous life. It's something amazing for us and a very huge addition to Wednesdays at the Cathedral.
So all right, you. Yeah. And let's all raise our glasses. We are drinking Franziskaner.
Franziskaner.
Franziskaner. Yes, that's a K. I think my eyes are getting bad, dude.
Oh. He's getting old.
Franziskaner Weissbier. So we raise our glass. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass and cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
So this is like Dave said, this is a wheat beer. Weissbier means, will you say it in
Weissbier.
Weissbier. Okay. Yeah. Weissbier means white beer, but it also can be translated as wheat beer from German. So this is a wheat beer. And on the side of the bottle, if you guys have it, it says, in accordance, it's in red, in accordance with the Bavarian purity law. And when I was looking at that today, I was like, what the heck is that? I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means, Dave?
No, is it like the equivalent of an imprimatur for beer?
No, but that'd be pretty cool. No, so I had to actually look it up, and it was about 500 years ago, they instituted this idea of the only ingredients you're allowed to have in beer. And so you're only allowed to have a certain amount of ingredients in the beer. And the reason why is because bread was so important back then to sustain life that they did not want to have beer makers and bakeries competing for the wheat. And so they didn't want to drive the prices up, or all the bread going for beer, or all the bread going just to bread. So there were certain stipulations on how much you could use for each beer. And also it said that the religious conservatism may have also played a role in the adoption of the rule to suppress the plants that were allegedly used in pagan rituals.
Well, I'm all for that.
So I'm all for, like, suppressing pagan rituals. So yeah. Anyway, this is also not the exact beer, but a type of beer that Pope Benedict enjoys as well.
So. Yeah, and also our little mantra, we're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. That's a quote from Pope Benedict. So it's
I think he said it like on his 88th birthday or something like that, that he had a big stein, and that's what he said. And so we just totally took it from him. So anyway, it's a really nice beer. It's a lighter beer for the summer, coming into the summertime. A little bready, made because it's a wheat beer, but it's not too, if you're not a hop person, if you're not somebody who likes bitter beer, this beer you will enjoy because it's not bitter. And it has a little bit of sweetness to it, especially on the nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would go really well with an orange. It's common to put a garnish on wheat beers like this. So you could do a lemon or an orange, I think. If I had to choose, I think I'd go orange.
I prefer none, but...
That's fine.
But yeah, it is a very nice beer. I think it would be a great summer beer.
Oh yeah. I tested this and I really like it. I don't usually drink beer.
Yes?
But this is really good.
It's pretty good.
Believe me,
yeah.
If you're 21.
Yes, only if you're 21. And it's 5% alcohol, so it's not over, you know, a lot of these craft beers these days are getting to 9, 10, 12, 14% alcohol, when you have to be very, I mean, you know, it's almost like the wine territory at that point. So you have to be very careful. But at 5%, you can have two or three and totally be okay.
Yeah, also... This is going to be lower calorie than a lot of the the craft beer, if that's important to you. And
I don't pay attention to that too much.
It's becoming more and more important to me. Sadly. Yeah, but some of those, you know, like chocolate stouts, I have idea how many calories are in those. But if it's 1,000, I wouldn't be surprised, you know?
Like, okay, so one of my favorite stories... Do I have time? I'm not looking at the timer.
I'll give you 90 seconds.
Okay. One of my favorite stories, and I'm actually going to pass it off to you, on a German beer, is whenever you were in the bar and you happen to be meeting a certain priest from this diocese.
Yes.
I'll let you take it from there.
So it was theology on tap. We have theology uncorked, theology, you know, I'm trying to remember which one. Theology on tap. I'm sitting there in McNally's drinking a beer, and in walks Father Brian Ketterer. And I say, hi. And, you know, we say hi, and he looks at my glass and says, are you drinking a Vorsteiner Dunkel? And I just look at him, and I said, yeah. Like, how did you know that? And he said, well, I can tell by the size of the carbonation that it had to be this type of, hops, and that, the color, and it's in this glass, so I know it's, for a beer from this region. And it's just like, all right, whatever, okay.
We get it, you know a lot about beer.
You're like a beer sensei, okay, fine.
That is one of my favorite stories. We've actually had Father Brian Ketter on the show several times. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He's on the TU Newman Center, chaplain at the TU Newman Center right now.
If you want to learn about beer, invite him over and
for dinner, and he will treat you.
It's like he was...
I'm sure he does not appreciate us. Well, tell everybody that.
You mean not at Wednesdays at the cathedral?
Yeah.
Well, what? You could have he could do a class on beer for you at Wednesdays at the cathedral.
Oh my. Let's stick on virtue here.
Yeah. Good idea. Yeah, so let's talk just a little. Oh, I probably don't have a whole lot of time to talk about moderation. The reason why.
Yeah. I'll give you 20 seconds.
Okay, so really the reason why we understand that alcohol affects different people, and there's a serious side of alcoholism that is in families. So we have to make sure that we understand that what moderation looks like looks different for every single person. Sometimes moderation is none, is a consumption of none. And sometimes, having one or two is okay, knowing your limits, but it's a manly virtue to know thyself and know what you struggle with and know what you're good at, and knowing whenever you struggle with something, let's stay away from it, let's avoid that temptation. So when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan, we have Father Joe Vita joining us today for this episode. We're here at Holy Family Cathedral in front of all these beautiful people. You really are. I'm just looking out at you, and I've only had a few sips of beer, so it can't even be that. But you're just gorgeous. I'll go ahead and introduce the topic, even though we're at the man gear. Okay. We're going to be talking about truthfulness today. For this segment, we wanted to talk about having a book list or a reading list for the summer to continue to journey down that path of discovery, truth.
Yeah, a continuation of seeking the truth. I think today...
Through good books.
I think today a big problem that we have in culture is just intellectual sloth. When we say sloth, a lot of times people think laziness, just sitting on the couch. But I think also a lot of times we don't push ourselves, and we don't strive to be who God calls us to be. And we're all called to be great. We're all called to be saints. And in order to do that, you have to make sure that you're studying. You have to make sure that you're continually learning your faith and understanding what the church believes. And because the church is so beautiful and big, there's no way we can get to the depths of really, when you start learning about the church, you realize how little you know about the church, because it's just so big and beautiful that as you continually learn and learn and learn, you realize that you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's such a beautiful thing to have about our faith, is that you can continue learning and you're never going to exhaust the fullness of the church.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I try to maintain a couple different books. So my wife and I, we started reading together recently.
Mm-hmm. As did my wife and I.
Oh, great.
Out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that's been really awesome. We used to watch, TV when we'd put the kids down, watch a show or something. And then we decided, let's start reading some books, like books that I've always wanted to read. The kind of books that I said, I hope that when I die, I can have said that I read that book. But I had no actual plan to do it, So we made a plan to do it, and we're starting with almost kids' books because
start slow.
Well, yeah, but there's some good ones that are on the list there.
Yeah, Green Eggs and Ham is a great book.
Have you read that one? No, but right now we're reading The Secret Garden, which is actually very good. We read Robinson Crusoe last. That one is kind of dry. But it was good, I guess, looking back. I can say I've read it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I also try to maintain spiritual reading that I take with me to adoration. And I think that's probably more of what we're going to talk about today. But I think both really are important mm-hmm. To develop kind of like every side of who we are. We have a creative side that I think a lot of people tend to ignore. I think there's a tendency when you start to get into your faith. I can say this because this is what I did. I kind of looked at fiction books as like, why would I waste my time reading a fiction, you know, some fairy tale? But I've since realized that that's the terror. It's just a bad approach to the thought mm-hmm. of reading. So right now I'm reading The Secret Garden with my wife. Mm-hmm. And I'm also reading the Power of Silence by Cardinal Sarah.
You know, it's really funny.
Or Sarah. I'm not sure how to say his name, but do you know? Is it Sarah?
I think
or?
It's Cardinal Sarah.
Sarah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it's really funny and ironic is that I audiobooked The Power of Silence.
Oh, yeah. You did?
Yeah, so I listened to it. So, and I like, as I was listening to it and I was listening to him, I was like, I realized, yeah, this is a little ironic. But they made it, so I was listening to it. So, yeah, so Dave, I think that before we really jump into the other books that we're planning on reading, I think that summertime is really hectic for most families.
Yeah.
It's easy to go outside the whole time, and it's easy to get out of rhythm because school's out. It's easy to, a lot of the sports are out. And so it's easy to get out of rhythm. And one of the first things, at least for me, that gets out of rhythm is typically my prayer life and, continually learning about my Catholic faith. You know, when life gets really busy, it seems like that's when those things become inconsistent. And so I think we have to be intentional. As Catholics, we have to be intentional with what we do. And so in order to be intentional, you have to intentionally decide, okay, I'm going to make a summer list of books to read. So that way I have a list and I have to see it and I have to make sure to, and hopefully check it off the list as you go. And so one of the books that my wife and I are reading actually came from Andrew Pudua whenever he was here at Wednesday Cathedral a couple weeks ago. Four weeks ago.
Yes.
He had.
By the way, that was a phenomenal talk.
Yes, and we recorded that.
If you want to hear it, it's on our SoundCloud account. Mm-hmm. So you can go to soundcloud.com, search St. Michael Radio. You can hear his talk if you missed it. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, so, and he promoted this book called The Mysteries of Life in Children's Literature. And he gave a lot of accolades to that book. And so I decided, okay, I need to read that book. I need to read it. So my wife and I bought it, and that's what we're reading. As my wife is preparing dinner, and my kids are going crazy, running around and wrestling and doing what kids do.
You're listening to an audiobook?
I'm listening to an audiobook in my basement. No, I'm just joking. I'm reading out loud to my wife, and hopefully to my kids, hopefully they listen a little bit. And so that way, there's the community aspect of reading as well, because sometimes you can get into the idea of just reading on your own.
Yeah.
And you don't have that time to spend with your family. So it's something that you can do all together as a family.
Father, I'm going to put you on the spot, if I may. Do you have like a good suggestion for a good spiritual summer book for a man? Other than the Bible, of course.
Well, if you ask me about books, I'll always think of theological books. Uh-huh. I remember my dad... he bought the Confessions of St. Augustine and said he would read that after his retirement. And when he retired, he started reading and eventually involved every member of the family. That was how I read that book the first time.
So he was reading it out loud?
He was reading it out loud.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's awesome. So I remember being a kid, my parents would read out loud to us. So we went through the Narnia books. We went through Tolkien, the Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. and the Hobbit. And I remember just loving that. And like,
it's creating memories.
Yeah.
I mean, you're well over 30 and and still remembering that.
I'm 31. Okay.
Only.
Yeah, I'm only 31.
Yeah.
But I really do think my eyes are going out.
One of the books that I'm currently reading is on the principle of the integral good by Father Ripperger. He's a priest that used to be in this diocese. He just put out a book, and I've always been interested. In fact, I think it's going to be a topic. I've talked to you about this. I think it's going to be a topic that we're going to discuss at a later episode because it's just such a fascinating principle, and I did not understand really what it meant, and I'm still trying to grasp and understand, make sure that I understand that principle, but it's a principle set forth by St. Thomas Aquinas, or made famous by St. Thomas Aquinas. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the books. And then another book that I'm going to read this year is a book that I read every single year, is The Ways of Mental Prayer. It's a phenomenal book put out by Tan. It's a little dry, but if you want to understand the step-by-step process of how to get into mental prayer, it lays it out for you very well and very, very digestible. And it's one of those books that you can continue coming back to and reading and being like, oh yeah, I forgot about that part. I forgot, you know, I'm not doing that, you know, and adding it to your mental prayer every day.
They should come out with another edition of that, like The Ways of Mental Prayer for Persons with ADD.
How many pages would it be? Like 3?
You're saying they should come out with another one.
Yeah, well, okay. They should at least send it to me. But a book that I finished reading, and I was actually like very, very thankful to finish, just because it took a long time for me to finish, was St. Faustina's Diaries. Mm. That book was so spiritually moving for me. It just, there's something about this style of writing where you can just her personal testimony and saying, hey, you know, Jesus appeared to me and this is what he told me, you know, and there'll be times where Jesus appears to her and says, hey, you know, like, look how far away you are from me. Look how nothing you are compared to me, you know, and he's not insulting her. And it's, you just read her and you think, great, if that's what he's saying to her, you know, what is it?
How far away am I?
Where does that put me?
You can still see me, right, Lord?
Yeah. Hey, I'm back here. No, but it just made me feel so terrible in the best way. It's like an uplifting down, like, I cannot describe it. But if you have not read her diary, it is just, the whole thing is, you just sit there and you're like, wow, that's crazy. And that's incredible. And just all the stuff that was happening to her.
Would you suggest to read that during adoration?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did as well. And it, to me, that just was, because she talks a lot about also being in adoration and the importance of adoration. Yeah. You're sitting there in adoration. I think it.
Do not be deceived by it, though. It looks little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The pages are razor thin.
Yeah, it took me a while. But I think that's a book that you can, you know, there's certain books that you want to just kind of get through to say, okay, I've read it, I've checked it off the list. But this book, you know, the diary is one of those that it's okay to read one page in an hour, you know, just kind of
think about it.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man topic, which is going to be truthfulness. Hopefully Dave won't lie through the break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sitting here today at Holy Family Cathedral with Father Jovita and 50 of our closest friends. We just got done talking about making sure to have a list of books for the summer. We're drinking a Vorsteiner. Did I say it right?
No, it's not a Vorsteiner. It's a
Hefeweizen. I'm sorry, Hefeweizen.
It's a Weiss beer.
It's a Hefeweizen.
Okay, yeah. It's a Franz.
Sorry. I got a little excited.
Franziskaner.
Okay.
Is the brand.
And we're gonna jump into the topic. Dave, I think that right before when we were planning out the episode, you said it'd be good to start out with the definition and quote the catechism on truthfulness.
Okay.
So I thought that would probably be a good way to start.
Okay.
Typically, quoting the catechism is a good way to start. So let's start there.
Okay, so truthfulness, I don't have like the catechism. I have some stuff from the catechism, but I don't have the catechism definition. Do you have it? Truthfulness is a sub-virtue of justice. So there are virtues, and then there are virtues that fall under other virtues. And truthfulness is a sub-virtue of justice because justice is when you give another their what is due them. And because of our dignity as persons, we are all due the truth. And so that is why truthfulness is a sub-virtue of justice. I think we all know what we mean when we say the truth.
In culture today.
Well, at least everybody in this
your
room,
your truth,
I'm
my
sure.
truth, you know.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. That's true.
Thank you.
But truthfulness, this is from the catechism, keeps to the just mean what ought to be expressed and what ought to be kept secret. It entails honesty and discretion. And that's from number 2469. So there are some things that a person might not have the right to know. For instance, a person might not have the right to know about some details of another's marital relationship, or you could think of any example. And so that doesn't mean that you lie about it, but having the virtue means that you have the habit of knowing when to speak and when not to speak, what to say versus what to just not say. St. Thomas Aquinas says he kind of had a really hard line when it came to lying. He took the position that it is always wrong to lie, no matter what. It's a stance that I think is a little harsh. I mean, my personal opinion is that there might be some situations where lying or not saying something that's not true might be okay. And the classic example is you have you're in Germany, 70 years ago, and you're hiding Jews in your basement, and a Nazi comes to the door and says, "Do you have any Jews in your basement?" You know, are you supposed to tell him, "Yeah, oh yeah, I've got like 12, you know? No, at least I'm not going to.
Let's let Father Jubier.
Well, the way it is expressed in moral theologies or in ethics is there are people who have right to truth, to certain level of it, and there are those who do not have right to some truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the example you gave, somebody who came to ask whether you have 12 Jews mm-hmm. around you, they do not have the right to know that, because the information they will get from you, they will use it for a bad end.
Mm-hmm.
So we go with the classic definition of lie as a false statement uttered with the intent to deceive. So at a point when you make a statement that might not be correct, but you do not have the intention to deceive, that would not be called a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So in the example you gave, there are people who have right to some knowledge, to some truth, and those who do not.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam, maybe you mentioned also what you can tell your kids. It's not everything that happens that you can explain completely
right.
to your kids. It's a level of knowledge that you can communicate to them, you can disclose to them, and if you go beyond that, you are rather hurting them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The classic one being, hey, where do I come from? You know, when your kid, that dreaded moment when your kid comes up and said, "Where did I come from?" And so, this is a true story. I remember asking my dad this.
Is this a true story that you made up?
Okay. This is a true story. Okay. I asked my dad, I remember being a kid, and he's like, all right. So he explained the whole thing, like, well, when a man and a woman love each other and they get married, and I just remember like standing there, and when he was done, he said, do you have any questions? And I said, well, I was just wondering, because the boy across the street's from Cleveland. All right, that was not happened, but
it was a story. It is a true story he made up. I warned you guys. I warned you guys. I do think though that there is this. You know, we're all made to strive. We're all hungry for truth, whether we know it or not. I think that it's very interesting that there's this love for truth out there, even in the secular culture. And I think that's why professor like Jordan Peterson, for instance, that's why he just has blown up, because he's, you know, seeking truth. He's continually seeking truth. And people are gravitating toward this idea of, hey, you know, there is a realistic truth. There is truth out there. And you can see this from all over, not even in the secular, but I mean, think about all these people who just continually count how much money they're making, and continually seeing all these possessions that they have. And then they look at each other and they say, I'm still not happy. You know, there's a reason why the suicide rate for people who for the rich are very high. You know, because they're putting all their stock in something that's never going to fulfill them. You know, if you're continually trying to be fulfilled by a material possession, that's not what we're made for. We're not made to count our check. You know, the money in our checkbook. You know, we're made for the love of God. We're made to be with Him in eternity. And so that's the only time that search for truth and that yearning for truth that we have is only going to be fulfilled in Christ and in His church.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and
glad you said absolutely.
It's so fundamental. It's, you know, it's the eighth commandment. I mean, just so important to our lives that it was of the 10 things God said, this is one of them, that we shall not lie. Shall not bear false witness, just because he knew how much that would hurt us. It's the commandments. They're not about oppressing us. They're really about keeping us from oppressing ourselves. You look at, you know, if you start reading the Bible, the very first bad thing that happens is actually Satan coming and telling a lie. It actually wasn't Adam and Eve. Satan,
yep.
He got the thing started by saying, you shall not die. You know, your eyes will be opened. And in some ways, that was actually true. It was kind of a half-truth, which is really a particularly sinister form of a lie. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's some part of it that's true. And so you can kind of, it's easier to convince someone to bring them along.
But his intent was to deceive.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so there's a lot of different ways that I think the truth should resonate in our lives, not just in the words that we say, but it should also resonate, I think, even more profoundly in what other people see in us, the way we behave. You know, if we're going to claim to be followers of Christ, that needs to obviously bear fruit. It needs to bear witness, not a false witness. It needs to bear a real witness in our lives.
I saw Mark Hart post the other day. He said, you should not wear a cross on around your neck if you can't carry the cross on your back.
That's good.
And I was like, that's a good one. Yeah, that is a good one. I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. I'll be quiet. So, but I agree. I think we have to do it at all costs. You know, we have to search for truth at all costs. And I think that's also why some of the people who are continually promoting the truth are being criticized, but they have to continue doing it anyway, because they've realized that hunger for truth, and they realize that tidbit of truth that leads to more truth that leads to more truth. It's almost like you start knowing, like, for me personally, it's like knowing thyself. Like, you realize what you're made for. You realize who you're supposed to be. Similar to, I'm sure no one here can relate to this, but when I go to confession, after I go to confession, it's like I realize, oh, well, I also, you know, I never even thought about how I treated this person, you know. And it's like your eyes kind of become open. You realize even things that you didn't even realize 2 weeks ago that you were doing that is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And as you continually go through this journey, your eyes become more and more open because you're yearning and heading towards the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why it's important to do routine examinations of conscience, mm-hmm. just so that you can keep all of that stuff fresh on your mind, because that happens to me all the time. You know, I'll get home from going to confession and remember, I forgot about that. You know, like, I'll try to remember next time.
Well, just come back.
Yeah.
And I think that, just come on back. As men, we have to be intentional about it as well. So set a reminder on your phone. Put it on your calendar. Make sure to examine your conscience on a daily basis. You continue growing.
If you can't do it, you can ask your wife.
Oh, yeah.
She'll
tell
examine you for it. Yeah.
We'll be right back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. As always, here with Adam Minahan. As not always, we're here at Holy Family Cathedral. We're joined by what was your title again? I didn't want to mess it up again. You're not the pastor.
It's the rector.
The rector, Father Joe Vita. And you're from Nigeria.
Certainly, yes.
What part of Nigeria are you from?
I'm from Anambra State in the southeast of Nigeria.
Okay. Mm. When did you make it here to Tulsa?
It was 2004.
Okay.
And you went to the biggest school in Nigeria, correct?
Or in the world.
In the world.
Is that correct? Not seminary. Biggest school. You might say biggest seminary.
Oh, seminary.
Arguably.
Seminary.
Yes.
Arguably. Yeah. Okay.
Because we have, at a point when I was there, there were probably 600 seminarians. And
wow. Praise God.
And that's just from his village.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's an interdiocesan seminary, and it gathers seminarians from across several of the dioceses in the southeast of Nigeria. Bigger Memorial Seminary, the seminary I'm talking about, grew, and actually now you have about four or five other seminaries, that grew out of Bigger. And they're all full. You have 400, you know, to deacon just Bigger, started philosophy faculty, a Bigger campus philosophy faculty. And eventually there was another seminary that was built, Seat of Wisdom Seminary. Mm-hmm. And then actually there's, I don't know if you have heard about Blessed Iwenetansi.
No.
Yeah, he's the first Nigerian to be beatified. And there's a seminary named after him in Onitsha, Nigeria, called Blessed Iwenetansi Seminary. And all these, you have so many seminaries now where seminarians go to be trained for the priesthood. Yes.
That's awesome. I think that your homeland has the highest number of priests per capita. I think
I haven't researched that. Well,
I'm pretty sure that that's true. And it doesn't surprise me because we were talking beforehand. We have 10 Nigerian priests here in Tulsa. So thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're talking about truth.
Yeah.
Let's get back on track here as far as some practical ways with truth. Lying seems to be the accomplice to all other vices. It seems like lying helps and is like friends of all other vices, because you almost like lie to yourself whenever you're doing other whatever other vice there is. And so in order to combat these vices, we have to work in virtue. We have to strive for virtue. And so one of the things that you can probably do is just it's the little things, right? It's the making sure that somebody told me the other, I can't remember when, but they said, if you're a man who cheats at solitaire by yourself, then you are like, you have no honor. Because you are
good thing I don't play solitaire.
Because you're cheating, you know, against yourself, and then you're at the end you cheat to win, and then so then you boast yourself up saying that you've beat the game of solitaire, but you've really been cheating, and all you're doing is cheating yourself.
Well, I'm gonna have to really reflect on my whole life.
Have you cheated?
I've totally cheated at solitaire. Yeah.
So, Father, let me ask you: what's some advice that you would give to somebody who struggles with continually, you know, working on the virtue of truth? I threw this at him, and he was not prepared. He was not ready for this. Yeah. So,
I think I was reading Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and there was a kind of I would say it was fun. He was trying to make a funny suggestion. Whenever you lie, you stick a nail or a pin on some place, and at the end of the week or at the end of the month, before you go to confession, you count the number of lies that you have told within a short period, and you'll be able to tell yourself, "Man, I'm not doing well," and then you want to. By the next time you want to reduce the number of pins or nails that you stuck there. And that's how you become more aware. It's being intentional. Mm-hmm. And I really loved when you mentioned that intentionality, because that was the reason why we started Wednesdays at the Cathedral, to form us to become intentional Catholics. Because we can go to Mass every Sunday or whenever we have the opportunity, not really immersed in what we're doing. So Wednesdays at the Cathedral is meant to train us in the faith so that we become intentional about everything we do, about our prayers, about going to Mass, about being Catholic, and living a virtuous life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a great idea. It's so incarnational, you know, that there's something here before you that you can see. It's like this visual aid, you know, I just love that idea, because we tend to think about, oh, I'll just pray real hard, you know, I'll just pray more and that'll help me get over my, you know, that'll help me defeat this vice that I have. But often we need more practical solutions I'm not saying that prayer is a bad idea, of course, but.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not saying that.
Yeah.
When we just say, oh, we pray about it, sometimes it's also a lie, because we find that we are not praying as hard as we promise ourselves that that we would.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Truth, I mean, it seems like that the manifestation, truth is only like explained through when it's manifested. Like whenever you see what actually happens, that's when you realize, okay, that is truth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why that was such a huge deal when the apostles saw Jesus, and here they are, they're just, you know, being fishermen. They're just hanging out, mending their nets, because apparently maybe they caught a lot of fish that day. I don't know. I mean,
maybe they just had terrible nets.
They may have terrible nets, but they're just minding their own business. And yet Jesus walks up to them and says, drop your nets and follow me. And I think that's like this manifestation. They realize there's this truth right in front of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that took a lot of guts. That took a lot to drop what you're doing as the bread, you know, as the provider of your family, to go and follow Christ.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that the virtue of truthfulness is not simply in avoiding its vice. It's not simply, tell any lies today, therefore I must have the virtue of truthfulness. No, because sort of like prudence isn't simply, oh, I didn't make any bad decisions today. Well, what was the quality of your decisions? Were you making good decisions? So with truthfulness, it's very similar. The things that you said, were they the embodiment of the truth? Or could you have been more honest to someone? Could you have, sometimes we might, say something that just, I'm going to put it this way because it will avoid me from being embarrassed, or I'm not going to humiliate myself. But when you look at the saints, like I mentioned Saint Faustina, she would be brutally honest, even to the point of it causing her just to look like a fool, mm-hmm. a total fool. I mean, and she would offer that up. I mean, that's...
Yeah, one of my biggest...
It's a good thing to do. It's
something I'm really not looking forward to at the end of my life, my judgment, is Jesus, God showing me all these moments that he gave me to do the good, and yet I just squandered it. I didn't do anything. I decided mm-hmm. to not do anything.
You're just cheating at solitaire.
I was just cheating at solitaire over here, winning and thinking that I was a really good solitaire player. But I think that could almost be something that's part of the purgation process is just realizing all these gifts that Christ has given you mm-hmm. and not acted upon them.
Yeah, yeah. Or especially when it comes to truth, if there was a truth we did not share, and maybe someone is in hell because I didn't share the truth with them.
Steve Ray brings that up. He gives a story about that his... neighbor was an atheist, he's a stout Catholic, and they both die at the same time, and they're both going up to the pearly gates, and
neighbor goes to hell,
as the neighbor was going to hell, he looks over at Steve and says, Steve, you mean you knew the truth the whole time? You knew that I was going to go to hell, and you didn't share the truth with me? And that, I tell you what, that's a gut punch.
Is that
right
a
there.
True story?
That he made up. True story that he made up.
True story that he made up, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a gut punch right there is that, we're called, as Catholics, we're called to, everybody here that is baptized is called to make disciples of Christ. Mm-hmm. That is like something that we are called to do. And if we're not doing that, we're going to be held accountable for that.
It's Pontius Pilate, he was standing before Jesus, and he said, quid est veritas? What is truth? And we know as Catholics, the real question is who is truth? And Jesus is, of course, the answer to that question. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's just such a blessing to be a Catholic, to get to receive mm-hmm. the Eucharist multiple times a week, ideally every day.
Yes.
Yes.
So many blessings.
Guys, we want to thank you guys so much for having us out here at Holy Family Cathedral. Thank you so much, Father, for allowing us to be out here and sharing this evening with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Adam.
Dave?
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.